Blog Talk Radio.
Well, shalom, everyone. This is Evangelist August Rosado with Today in Bible Prophecy Ministries. We want to welcome you to our program as we look at current world events in light of biblical prophecy and the soon return of our Lord Jesus. Well, folks, we want to thank you so very much for tuning in today. This is Evangelist August Rosado with Today in Bible Prophecy Ministries, and we are coming to you live from Lincoln, Rhode Island. And it's hard to believe that a week has already blown by, and here we are in the weekend. And so I always look forward to doing these radio programs on Blog Talk Radio. And, of course, you can tune in to Blog Talk Radio every Saturday afternoon at 2:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And, of course, throughout the week, you can view our live streaming on Facebook at 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. We just concluded the book of Daniel. We had a wonderful time going through the book of Daniel. And, of course, before that, we had a wonderful time going through the book of Revelation, looking at the book of Revelation in chronological order. And, of course, we did the same thing with the book of Daniel, looked at the book of Daniel in chronological order. And so we just had a wonderful, wonderful time in studying those books. Now, at 11 a.m. Monday morning, this upcoming Monday, 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, you can go to my Facebook page, and we will be beginning a brand new series on the book of Zechariah. We will be looking at the book of Zechariah, and we will be studying the book of Zechariah. Now, Zechariah, we're going to go straight through numerically, chapters 1 through 14. And, of course, we did not do that with Daniel because we looked at Daniel chronologically, which meant we bounced all over the place in the book of Daniel. And we did the same thing in the book of Revelation. We bounced all over the place in the book of Revelation because we had to look at the book chronologically, not numerically, reading those books straight through. And so but in Zechariah, we're going to go straight through Zechariah in all 14 chapters as we take a look at that prophetic book. They call Zechariah one of the minor prophets, but he does have a major message. And that major message is concerning the holy city of Jerusalem, in which, of course, Zechariah mentions Jerusalem 41 times. But on today's program on Blog Talk Radio, we are going to be looking at the Feast of Tabernacles. Last Saturday, we looked at Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, and the week before that, we looked at Rosh Hashanah, or in Hebrew, Yom Teruah, or the Feast of Trumpets. And we looked at the prophetic significance for the Feast of Trumpets, the prophetic significance for Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. And today, we're going to look at the prophetic significance of the Feast of Tabernacles. Of course, Tabernacles celebrated a couple of days ago, and so we're going to be talking about the Feast of Tabernacles. The Feast of Tabernacles concludes the seventh and final Jewish feast recorded in Leviticus chapter number 23. So before we begin with that, because this is a 45-minute show, you can visit my website at todayinbibleprophecy.org. And while you are there, sign up for our newsletters. They go out every single week. And I know that these newsletters will be a blessing to you. So go to my website, todayinbibleprophecy.org. Sign up for the free newsletters that go out every week via email, constant contact. And then, of course, if you feel led to be a blessing to this ministry as we travel all over the country, preaching on Israel, Bible prophecy, and current events, as well as traveling to Israel and teaching Bible prophecy on location there and sharing the gospel with the Jewish people, distributing Bibles while we go out there. And if you feel led by supporting our ministry, you can do that by going to our PayPal account, the secure PayPal account there at the very bottom of our webpage, and you can donate whatever the Lord lays on your heart. Because, folks, it's your prayers and financial support that helps us in doing what we do here at Today in Bible Prophecy Ministry. So I want to wish all of you a great weekend. Hope you have a blessed weekend. And tomorrow morning, I'm going to be in Wyoming, Rhode Island, not the other Wyoming, Wyoming, Rhode Island. And tomorrow morning, I am going to be preaching at Wood River Baptist Church. Wood River Baptist Church. And they are in Wyoming, Rhode Island. I don't know. It's on Kingstown Road, but I don't know the exact physical address, the numbers there. And so I will put that on my Facebook page. So if you live anywhere in the area in Rhode Island, come on out and visit us tomorrow morning as I preach at Wood River Baptist Church in Wyoming, Rhode Island. And if we're able to, can't make any promises, but if we're able to, we will try to see if we can live stream the event on Facebook live stream. So I'm not making any promises, but we will see how that goes. So don't forget to follow me on the social networks. You can follow me on Facebook. I have a public page. So, you know, if you want to tune in every morning at 11 a.m. to watch live stream, you don't have to be a Facebook friend of mine. You can watch it because it's public. So anybody can tune in and watch it. So you can follow me on Facebook. You can send me a Facebook request, a friend request if you'd like. You can follow me on Twitter. And, of course, my Twitter handle is Bible_prophecy. Or just simply August Pizzato. And you can follow me on LinkedIn as Evangelist August Pizzato. You can follow me on all three of those social networks. And so I just want to get into it right now because I really enjoy studying on the Feast of Tabernacles. And, of course, I forgot to bring my glasses in here, but I'm just going to go right ahead and I'm just going to get right into it. Something was telling me, don't forget to bring your glasses, and of course I did not, but we'll just wing it by the grace of God. So Leviticus chapter number 23 is what I want to look at. Leviticus 23, oh, we seem like we, actually, let me just very quickly, while this is uploading here, I'm just going to go and get my glasses. My glasses are here somewhere, Daddy. I got it right here. Yes, I got it right here. All right, are we back on? Oh, we're still trying to connect here. All right, here we go. Wow, that was, oh, lost it again. All right, here we go. We're going to be in Leviticus chapter number 23. Leviticus chapter number 23. We're back on. We have to, for some reason, it says the connection is a little weak. I don't know why, but it is a little weak there, but we're going to be in Leviticus chapter number 23, and we're going to begin in verse number 33, and of course, we're live streaming this on Facebook, but we're also recording this, and we're going to upload it to YouTube, because we do a lot of these programs, whether I'm teaching Bible prophecy in Israel, or whether we're doing it here at home for Blog Talk Radio, we record it on the computer, and then we upload it to YouTube so that people can tune in as well. And so, you know, people are starting to come in right now. That's a real blessing. We're going to be talking about the Feast of Tabernacles and the kingdom to come. The Feast of Tabernacles and the kingdom to come. So we'll be in Leviticus 23, beginning of verse number 33. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, the 15th day of this seventh month shall be the Feast of Tabernacles for 7 days unto the Lord. Again, we're trying to reconnect here. The Feast of Tabernacles, 7 days unto the Lord. So the Feast of Tabernacles was to be a seven-day celebration in which they were praising God and thanking Him for giving them a bountiful crops, for blessing them. And, of course, Tabernacles commemorates the event that happened as the children of Israel was making their way from Egypt through the desert. And as they were making their way through the desert, God provided them food. Of course, folks, again, the connection is very weak. I don't know what is going on here. I got Verizon. So I'm supposed to have, like, a best you know, broadband connection, but for some reason they say it's weak. But as I was saying, as, you know, this thing was buffering here, that the Feast of Tabernacles is the seventh and final feast of the fall feast of Leviticus chapter number 23. And it commemorates the events of the children of Israel leaving Egypt, and as they're on their way to the promised land, they're going through the hot, sweltering desert. And the heat was so unbearable during that time. But God provided them boots. Now, the word boots there, excuse me, would be the Hebrew word Sukkot, S-U-K-K-O-T, Sukkot. Sukkot simply means boots. In other words, God provided the Jewish people shelter. God provided them shade from the sweltering hot sun as they made their way into the promised land, the land of milk and honey. And again, Tabernacles is a seven-day celebration in which the Jewish were praising God and thanking God for a bountiful crop, for the fruit of the land, and so on and so forth. So it was a seven-day celebration. As a matter of fact, for 6 days, the priests would take water, running water, for the water libation, and they would take it to Jerusalem, and of course they would use the water libation for purification there in the temple. And so it was just a wonderful time of celebration. But on the seventh day, no water was brought into the temple. On the seventh day, or also known as the Great Day in Judaism, or that last day, the high priest, the people of the land, would just praise Yahweh. They would praise the God of Israel. Again, thanking God for giving them such a wonderful, on the first day shall be a holy convocation. As I explained before, the phrase holy convocation would refer to a holy gathering of God's people for these feasts. You know, when we gather together on Sunday or during the midweek, you know, that is a holy convocation of God's people as we worship the Lord on the Lord's day. And so that's a holy convocation. The Jewish people would gather together as a holy convocation to celebrate these feasts. So it was a holy convocation. You shall do no servile work therein. So all labor on that day was forbidden. For 7 days, no labor. They could not work. They could do no labor whatsoever. Verse 36, 7 days, you shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. On the eighth day shall be a holy convocation. There's that phrase again. So after the 7 days, the eighth day would just be a holy convocation unto you. The Jewish people would gather. They would praise the Lord and thank him for everything that God has done for them. And you shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. It is a solemn assembly, and you shall do no servile work therein. So they would offer a sacrifice, an offering made by fire unto the Lord. And again, God reminded them, no labor, no servile work therein. Verse 37, these are the feasts of the Lord, which ye shall proclaim to these holy convocations, or a holy gathering, to offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord, a burnt offering, meat offerings, sacrifice, drink offerings, upon this very day. According to verse 39, if tabernacles was to fall during the weekday, whether it's a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday, it would automatically be a high Sabbath day. It would automatically be a high Sabbath. Verse 39 says this. Also on the 15th day of the seventh month, when ye had gathered in the fruit of the land, that's what they did. They took the fruit of the land, placed it in the basket, and the high priest would use it as a wave offering unto the Lord. Some would say even as a sign of the cross, as a wave offering unto the Lord. You shall keep the feast unto the Lord 7 days. On the first day shall be a Sabbath. On the eighth day shall be a Sabbath. So the first day, a high Sabbath. The eighth day, a high Sabbath. Well, of course, if it fell on the Sabbath, then I it will just be the Sabbath. But if it fell during any of the weekdays, it would be considered a high Sabbath day. Verse 40, and ye shall take you on the first day the boughs of goodly trees, branches of palm trees, the boughs of fig trees, of willows of the brook, and ye shall rejoice before the Lord your God. And, you know, of course, if you have a Jewish neighbor, a religious Jewish neighbor, and you'll notice that funny-looking hut, you know, in their backyard, or maybe even on the porch or somewhere on the roof, and you'll go up to them and say, hey, what is that? Why do you have a hut in your backyard? Well, that is a sukkah. That is a booth, if you will. Sukkah or sukkot, that is a tabernacle. And, of course, when you walk in there, you will notice that it's covered with branches and leaves and so on and so forth. And you'll see citrus fruit there, known in Hebrew as lulav. Lulav is like a citrus fruit that is similar to a lemon. It looks like a lemon, but it's not a lemon. And, of course, they'll have all of that there on their sukkah. And, you know, they'll be, you know, when you look up into the roof of the hut, you'll notice that it's not completely covered. You can look up and actually see some portions of the sky. And that is reminding the Jewish people that that they were to thank God for providing them shelter in the desert, the hot, sweltering desert with the sun beating down on them. And they were thanking God for providing them that sukkah, that shelter. This reminds me of a story that I read some time ago. A Jewish man in New York was living in this very expensive high-rise. And he decided to go to the very top of the high-rise, and he built a sukkah. And he decorated with lulav and citruses and so on and so forth. His Gentile neighbor became livid, and they ordered him. They asked him to take down that hut. He said, I'm not going to do that. I'm celebrating the Feast of Tabernacles. I'm a religious Jew. They said, you better take it down or we're going to report you, you know, to the housing authority. And so he refused to take it down. His neighbors ended up going to the manager of the complex. The manager sent him a letter, and he refused to take it down. And so then he said, we're going to take you to court, take that hut down. He says, do what you need to do. Well, they took him to court. The Jewish man ends up going to court, and then, of course, you know, the judge, he himself was Jewish. So the manager of the complex said, you know, we're taking him to court because he needs to take that hut down. It's a fire hazard, and it's offended his neighbors, and we want that down. And the judge said, is that so, sir? The Jewish man said, yes, sir, I'm celebrating the Feast of Tabernacles, and, you know, it's part of my religion. So then afterwards, the judge rendered his verdict and ordered the man to take down the sukkah. So the judge looked right at that man, and he said this, the Jewish judge looked at that Jewish man and said this, listen, sir, I am giving you sukkah down, 7 days to take it down. Well, you know exactly what the judge was doing, right? Being a Jewish judge, he was also, you know, celebrating tabernacles as well. And so he ordered the Jewish man to take it down. He had 7 days to take down that hut. That's all he needed. Because the Feast of Tabernacles, folks, is a 7-day celebration. Verse 41 says, and he shall keep it a feast unto the Lord 7 days in the year. It shall be a statute forever. God said you are to celebrate these feasts forever. Hebrew word olam, forever. It would be a statute for the Jewish people to celebrate, not just, you know, in the Old Testament times, but forever. He says a statute forever in your generations. That's the Hebrew word dadol. In your generations, olam, forever. You shall celebrate it in the 7th month. Now, on the Jewish calendar, we are right now in the 7th month, of course, which would be October. Verse 42. And you shall dwell in booths. Again, the word booths there would be tabernacles, shelter made out of boroughs or out of the trees from the Holy Land. Of course, trees here in America would fit, you know, just fine as well. So he says, you are to dwell in booths 7 days. All that are Israelites shall dwell in booths. They are to dwell in sukkahs. Verse 43, that your generations may know that I made the children of Israel to dwell in booths, in sukkahs, when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. Of course, you can read about this in Exodus chapter 13, verse 14, Deuteronomy 31, verse 13, Psalm 78, and verse number 5, Exodus chapter 10, and verse number 2. He says in verse 44, and Moses, Moshe Rabbeinu, they say in Hebrew, Moses, our teacher, and Moses declared unto the children of Israel the feast of the Lord, that they were to keep as a memorial throughout all their generations. And so now, let's jump over to the New Testament, to the Gospel of John, chapter number 7. Now, I remind you, the Feast of Tabernacles was referred to as the Feast of Booths, Sukkot, and it was 7 days in length and concluded, by the way, as I said, as a holy convocation based on verse number 36. During the week, the people lived in booths or huts made out of boughs. Of course, you can read Numbers chapter 8, verses 14 through 18, that talks about the Feast of Tabernacles as well. It was decorated with branches of palms, willows, or other native trees to the land of Israel. And it served as a reminder of the way in which the Israelites wandered about in the wilderness after the Exodus. They dwelt in sukkahs, living in tents or temporary shelters that God provided for them. Temporary shelters in the wilderness. God had provided for them in bringing them out of Egypt and through the wilderness. Again, Leviticus chapter 23 and verse 43 says, that your generations may know that I made the children of Israel to dwell in booths, in sukkahs. When I brought them out of the land of Egypt, I am the Lord your God. And by the way, there were 189 animals that were sacrificed on the Feast of Tabernacles. We know this number based on Numbers chapter 29, verses 12 through 38. 189 animals were sacrificed on that very day in celebration of the Feast of Tabernacles. But we also know that it celebrated the autumn harvest of fruits, when you have gathered together the fruit of the land, as we see in verse number 39, that on the 15th day of the seventh month, when you have gathered in the fruit of the land, you shall keep a feast unto the Lord 7 days. And on the first day shall be a Sabbath, and on the eighth day will be a Sabbath. So the first day, a Sabbath. The seventh day would be a holy convocation celebrating. And on the eighth day would be another Sabbath. If it fell on a weekday, again, it would be a high Sabbath. If it fell the first day of Tabernacles, if it fell on a weekday, a high Sabbath. On the eighth, another high Sabbath. Everything just shuts down on that day. So they offered the fruit of the land. We're talking like olives, based on Exodus chapter 23 and verse number 16. But we know based on prophecy, we'll look at this in a few seconds, in Zechariah chapter 14 and verse number 16, during the millennial kingdom, all the nations will come up from year to year to worship the king, the Lord of hosts. That would be the king, Ha-Melech in Hebrew, Ha-Melech Adonai Sevaoth, to worship the king, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. And again, it will be observed during the millennial kingdom, the kingdom of God to come. And so thus the Feast of Tabernacles marked the climax of the religious year when thankful Jewish people entered fully into the anticipated promises of God. And folks, they were resting fully in the God, and I love this, who supplied all of their very needs. Now, let's go to the Gospel of John, chapter number 7. I want you to see something here. The Gospel of John, chapter number 7. And I want us, I'm sorry, chapter number 7. We got it right here. Chapter number 7. And we see Jesus and his disciples there in Jerusalem. And the Jews, knowing that Jesus was there, they caused an uproar. And they caused a major division at that time. Now, in chapter number 7 and verse number 1, after these things, Jesus walked in Galilee. So we know that Jesus was north in the area of Galilee. And the reason why he's up north is because he knew the Jews in Jerusalem hated his guts. They wanted nothing to do with him, even threatened to kill him. So he avoided going to Jerusalem. Now, here's the problem. Based on Deuteronomy chapter 16 and verse number 16, Jews were required 3 times a year for the 3 main Jewish feasts. Passover, or in Hebrew, Pesach. Then Pentecost, or in Hebrew, Shavuot, Feast of Weeks, and of course, Tabernacles, or Sukkot. Based on Deuteronomy 16:16, Jews were required by God to go up to Jerusalem 3 times a year for those 3 Jewish feasts. It wasn't optional. You had to go. The male Jewish people, the Jewish male, had to be there. And so Jesus, you know, no doubt, he's like, listen, I know if I go down there, these guys are going to cause problems. They've already threatened to take my life. They've already threatened to kill me. Let's read on in verse number 1. After these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he would not walk in Jewry or in Jerusalem because the Jews sought to kill him. They wanted to kill him. You know why they wanted to kill him, folks? They wanted to kill him because Jesus claimed deity. He claimed not only to be the Messiah, the Mashiach, he claimed to be the true and living God, the creator of heaven and earth, the very one that talked to Moses in the burning bush, the very one that breathed life, kindness into you and I. He claimed deity, and the Jews sought to kill him because of that. But no doubt, Jesus wanted to go and celebrate this feast because, of course, he knew the law. He created the law. And he knew he needed to go out there to celebrate the tabernacle. But notice the conversation that takes place in verse 2. Now the Jews' Feast of Tabernacles was at hand. The Feast of Tabernacles, Jesus' visit to this feast caused a division. The Feast of Booths, approximately early October, which we're in right now, he wanted to go down there and celebrate it, but his brother said, listen, if you go down there, you know these Jews are going to kill you. They're going to want to take your very life. Verse 3, his brethren therefore said unto him, depart hence and go into Judea, that the disciples may see the works that thou doest. For 6 consecutive days, a procession of priests carried water in golden vessels into the temple area. The pouring of water was thought to have physical and spiritual significance. But on that 7th day, it was called the Great Day. Let's continue to read on. Verse number 4. For there is no man that doeth anything in secret, and he himself seeketh to be known openly. If thou do these things, show thyself to the world. You know, even his brothers were doubting him. Listen, if you are the Messiah, you know, why don't you show it openly to the Jews in Jerusalem? No man does anything in secret. So why don't you go there and show yourself openly to the Jewish people? Show thyself to the world that you are the promised Messiah of Israel. Now notice verse 5, but neither did his brethren believe in him. And Jesus was like struggling within himself. You know, I want to celebrate this feast. I want to go and celebrate tabernacles. The Jews in Jerusalem are going to seek to kill me if I go down there. So he decides to go to Jerusalem. Verse 6. Then Jesus said unto them, my time is not yet come. It's not time for me to die. If I go down to Jerusalem, they're going to kill me before my time comes. So Jesus said unto them, my time is not yet come, but your time is always ready. See, you guys can die at any time, single day. You know, James 4:14 says, what is your life? It's like a vapor that appears for a little time, then vanishes away. Jesus said, your time will always come. You know, Proverbs 27, verse 1 says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what the day may bring forth. Jesus said, it's not my time yet, but it is always your time. Verse 7, the world cannot hate you, but me it hateth, because I testify of it that the works thereof are evil. It says in verse 8, go ye up to the east. If you guys want to go, then you go down south to Jerusalem. I'll remain up here north in Galilee. Go ye up unto this feast. Talking about tabernacles. I go not up yet. He says, I'm not going right now, but I will go. Because it is a 7-day feast. He says, I go not up yet unto this feast, for my time is not yet full come. And when he had said these words unto them, he abode still in Galilee. Now his brethren, obeying Deuteronomy 16:16, verse 10. But when his brethren were gone up, if I have that phrase, gone up, it's aliyah in Hebrew. Aliyah simply means to go up, because Jerusalem is 2,700 feet above sea level. The sea level of the Mediterranean Sea, because Jerusalem is on a mountain. And so whenever you see that phrase, we go up. We make aliyah to the city of Jerusalem. You know, when you travel to Israel, you land at Ben-Gurion Airport in Tel Aviv. After going through customs, getting the luggage, you get onto your bus. And then you literally drive up 2,700 feet above sea level. The sea level of the Mediterranean Sea, 2,700 feet. So that means aliyah, you're going up. Today, the Israeli government uses the term aliyah to refer to Jewish immigration into the land of Israel. So they now go up. But when his brothers were gone up, then went he also up unto this feast. So Jesus joined his brothers there in Jerusalem unto the feast. Not openly, the Bible says, excuse me, but as it were in secret. So Jesus did not go there and say, hey guys, here I am. I am here. You know, I mean, he didn't do nothing like that. He went up to the feast. But he wanted to go there in secret because he knew that the Jews were looking to cause problems. So let's continue to read on. Verse 11. Then the Jews sought him at the feast. Now, they were looking for him. They were looking out for him. Not openly, but it's in secret. But then the Jews sought him at the feast and said, where is he? They probably went up to his brothers and said, hey, where is your brother? Where is the one who claims to be the Messiah of Israel? The one who is doing all these so-called miracles. He's probably doing it by the power of Beelzebub anyway. So where is your brother? Verse 12. And then there was much murmuring among the people concerning him. But some said, he is a good man. Why are you guys giving him such a problem? He's a good rabbi. Why are you giving this guy a hard time? Others said, nay, but he's deceiving the people. He's lying to the people. He's doing all of these false miracles to pretend that he's the Messiah. So, you know, there was a division, and there was some murmuring that was going on. Well, verse 13. Howbeit, no man spake openly of him for fear of the Jews. Now, we know there were some believers, Jewish believers of Jesus, within the Pharisees, and maybe within the Sadducees. But we also know that there were others, Jewish lay people, who were also believers. They were followers of Jesus, but they would not confess it openly for fear of the Jews of his day. Listen, folks, even in Israel today, there are those who are Jewish believers. You have rabbis in Israel who are believers, those within the Israeli government who are believers. Some even say that they even think that Benjamin Netanyahu, the prime minister of Israel, could possibly be a secret believer. I don't know. I have no, you know, proof of that, but I hear that all the time. So you have a lot of secret believers in Israel. They're afraid to come out and say they're believers for fear of the Orthodox Jews in Israel today. So nothing's really changed in 2000 years. So howbeit no man spake openly of him for fear of the Jews. Verse 14. Now about the midst of the feast, right in the middle of the feast, we're talking 3.5 days into the feast of this 7-day celebration. It says, in the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and he taught. And the Jews marveled, saying, how know this man letters, having never learned? This guy is knowledgeable of the law. He's knowledgeable of the Torah, of the Nevi'im, of the Ketuvim, the Torah, the law, the five books of Moses, the Nevi'im, the prophets, and the Ketuvim, the writings, which, by the way, based on Luke 21:44, that is the Hebrew division of the Old Testament, the Jewish division of the Old Testament. Let me just see if I can get this right here. Hold on 1 second. Should have probably had it with me already. But what I have right here is the Hebrew Tanakh. And, of course, it has the Torah, Nevi'im, and Ketuvim, or the writings of Tanakh, Torah, Nevi'im, and Ketuvim. So this is the Hebrew division of the Old Testament. So they saw that Jesus was way superior in all this, even more knowledgeable of Pharisees. And it's like, wait a minute, how does this guy know all this stuff, having never learned or studied? Folks, they had no idea that they are dealing with the God of all creation, the God that gave the Torah to Moses, a very knowledgeable and superior divine rabbi in their very midst. Let's read on. Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. Now, if you look in, let's see, we want to make sure we get it here. Let's drop down to verse number, let's see, verse 37. Look at verse 37 with me for the sake of time. In the last day, the seventh day, in the last day, the great day. Did you see that? The great day. Yom Gadol in Hebrew. The great day. What happened on that great day of the feast? Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Now, mind you, folks, for the 6 days of the Feast of Tabernacles, the high priest went to the Pool of Siloam, where there's running water there. They put those waters in golden vessels, brought it back to the temple for the water libation, for the purification. But on the seventh day, no water was brought to the temple. Jesus beautifully took advantage of that to say, hey guys, you're bringing this water in, from the Pool of Siloam. But if you drink that water, you're going to thirst again. But if you drink of the water that I give you, you will never thirst again. You know why? Jesus said, Ani Maim Chaim. I am the water of life. He took advantage of that. On the seventh day, when the priests were bringing no water into the temple, Jesus took advantage of that to say, I am the water of Maim Chaim. Verse 39. But this is what he said right here. I don't know why I keep doing that here. But this faith he of the Spirit, or in Hebrew, the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. Notice the future tense there, should receive. That's what happened down the road and its fulfillment in Acts chapter 2 on Pentecost, Shavuot, another feast that Jews were required to go up once a year, Passover, Pentecost, and Tabernacles. So we saw that fulfillment in Acts chapter number 2. So then he says, he's speaking of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given because that Jesus was not yet glorified. He hasn't risen from the dead yet, okay? And the events of Acts chapter 2 has not taken place as of yet. And many people, therefore, when they heard this saying, said of a truth, this is the prophet. Others said, this is the Christ. But some said, shall Christ come out of Galilee? They did not know the scriptures. Of course the Messiah has to come out of Galilee. That's Isaiah chapter 9, verses 1 and 2. These guys weren't even familiar with the messianic prophecy, that the Messiah would come from the Galilee. They had no idea. Of course, they were wrong. Many prophets came out of the Galilee. For an example, Jonah came from Gath Hepher, which is in the Galilee, 2 Kings chapter 14, verse 25. Nahum was from El Tosh, which, by the way, is the village of Nahum, Capernaum. Matthew chapter 8, that was the main headquarters of Jesus' ministry 2,000 years ago. Hosea is also believed to have from the Galilee. So, of course, the Jews of Jesus' day had no idea concerning these messianic prophecies. But in verse 38, Jesus said, he that believeth on me, as the scriptures have said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of Maim Chaim, rivers of living waters. Jesus said, I am the water of life. Took advantage of that beautifully, because no water was brought to Jerusalem on the seventh day of the feast. And Jesus took advantage of that for the water libation. Just incredible when you can actually read the Jewish aspect of all of this. It just puts, we know, based on Bible prophecy, in the millennial kingdom to come, we will be celebrating Jewish feasts. No Valentine's Day, no Easter, no Christmas, none of these Gentile holidays. In the kingdom to come, under the rule of the Rabbi of Nazareth, Yeshua, Jesus of Nazareth, the greatest Jew to ever walk the face of this earth, we will be celebrating Jewish feasts. Go with me to Zechariah, the book of Zechariah, Zechariah chapter number 14. We'll be studying Zechariah come this Monday at 11 a.m., so I hope you join us. Notice for me in Zechariah chapter 14, verse number 16, this is in the kingdom to come, the millennial kingdom, verse 16. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations which came up against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the feast of tabernacles. All nations will go up in the future millennial kingdom reign to come. When Satan is bound in the bottomless pit for 1,000 years, the Antichrist and the false prophet are burning in the lake of fire. Jesus will rule all these nations of the world with a rod of iron. The nations that are in rebellion against him right now, including the United States of America. Now, even though I don't find any specific reference to America in Bible prophecy, and I don't even know if America will even be around at that time, but I know that all the nations will go up from year to year to worship the Lord Jesus and keep a Jewish feast, the Feast of Tabernacles. Verse 17, the warning to these nations, though. And it shall be that whosoever will not come up of all the families of the earth unto Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, even upon them shall be no rain. God said, I'll send no rain upon you. You'll have no blessings if you fail to come up to Jerusalem like the Jews did three times a year in Deuteronomy 16:16. If you don't come up, no blessings and no rain will come upon you. Verse 18. And if the family of Egypt go not up and come not, they'll have no rain. This shall be the plague where the Lord will smite the heathen, the Goyim, the Gentile nations, that come not up to keep the feast of tabernacles. Verse 19. And this shall be the punishment of Egypt and the punishment of all nations that come not up to keep the feast of tabernacles. God is really serious about this, folks, because we know that in the millennial kingdom, Jesus will be bodily and physically present among us. Let's end it off right here in the book of Revelation, chapter number, 21. Revelation, chapter number 21. And notice with me, please, in verse number 3. This is talking about the new heavens, the new earth. That says right here. Let me begin in verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth was passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Now notice verse 3. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them, tabernacled among them, and be their God. That's awesome. The tabernacle of God will be with his people, and he will forever dwell with them. So, folks, we know that in the kingdom to come, the millennial kingdom, Jesus will be tabernacled among his people. The water of life himself, Mayim Chayim, will be tabernacled among his people in the kingdom. And tabernacles will end the final and seventh Jewish feast among all the feasts of Leviticus 23. So we know that Jesus fulfilled the first four feasts of Leviticus 23, and in the future, he's going to fulfill the last three. Again, how did Jesus fulfill the first four feasts of Leviticus 23? Well, he was crucified on Passover, buried on unleavened bread, rose from the dead on first fruits, sent the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. So those first four feasts were fulfilled. The last three feasts to be fulfilled will be Rosh Hashanah, or Yom Teruah, Feast of Trumpets, as they say in Hebrew, Yom Teruah, Feast of Trumpets, will be fulfilled not at the rapture per se, second coming of Jesus. Because, remind you, that is a Jewish feast. Rosh Hashanah, or Trumpets, is a Jewish feast, not a Christian Gentile feast. It is a Jewish feast given exclusively to the Jewish people. So we know that that will be fulfilled at the second coming based on Matthew 24:31, where a second trumpet sounds to gather his elect. And this will be the Jewish people and the saved of the tribulation period from the four corners of the earth to the city of Jerusalem for the inauguration of the millennial kingdom. We know at the rapture, before the tribulation period, a trumpet sounds, But that's the rapture. That's for the church. Trumpets is for Israel. Now, tabernacles as well, but trumpets is for Israel. So that will take place at the second coming, at the end of the tribulation period, when another trumpet sounds to gather the Jewish people from the four corners of the earth and the save of the tribulation period to Jerusalem for the inauguration of the millennial kingdom. And then, of course, there would be Yom Kippur, or the Day of Atonement. That will be fulfilled when Jesus erects the millennial temple, spoken of in Ezekiel chapters 40 through 46, covering 202 verses. Jesus himself will build that temple with his very own holy hands, based on Zechariah chapter 6, verses 12 and 13. And then Jesus will walk into that temple, and he will reestablish the throne of David, spoken of in Isaiah 9, 6, and 7, Luke 1, 32, and 33. And then on tabernacles will be the millennial kingdom reign, in which he will reign for 1,000 years. Woo! Folks, I'll tell you, it doesn't get any better. Jesus will one day reign as they say in Hebrew, Melech HaMelechim, King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That's not the case now, but that will be the case in the kingdom to come. So let me wish all of you, all of our Jewish friends that watch all over the world, let me wish you Chag Sameach, Happy Holy Day, and Chag Sukkot, Happy of Tabernacles. Yeshua, Jesus, is indeed the prophesied Messiah of Israel, who fulfilled the first four feasts, and he will fulfill the last three in the not-too-distant future. Well, that's all the time. We went a little bit overboard today, but I want to thank all of you for tuning in to the program today. Don't forget, visit my website, todayinbibleprophecy.org. Sign up for our newsletters while you are there. They go out every single week. Let me just say a quick hello to all of you that are watching right now. Junior Parker from Gulfport, Mississippi is watching. Junior, thank you so much, as always, for tuning in. Nancy Jordan Smith is watching. Nancy, thank you so much. And, of course, you know, Junior is from Gulfport, Mississippi, a good friend of mine. Andy and Wendy Riley from Arkansas, they are watching right now. Andy, Wendy, thank you so much for tuning in. I appreciate you. Janice Wartenberger from the Left Post is also watching in. And Janice, as usual, thank you so much for tuning in. Dr. Andy Woods from Sugar Land, Texas. He pastors the Sugar Land Bible Church, which is a suburb of Houston. And Dr. Woods, as usual, thank you so much for tuning in. I'm humbled that you would watch these programs, and it just keeps me on my toes when someone like you is watching. So I appreciate you, brother. Thank you so much. God bless you. Say hello to your wife for us. Mark Lambert from Swansea, Massachusetts, good friend of mine. Mark, thank you so much for tuning in, buddy. I appreciate you. Jeff and Kristen Taylor is also watching. Thank you so much, guys, for tuning in. Jill Sherman Cadet is watching. Thank you, Jill, for tuning in. Hey, Bobby Bonner. Bobby Bonner is a former Major League Baseball player, and I'm humbled that this guy is even watching. Bobby Bonner also has a great ministry. And, Brother Bobby, thank you so much for tuning in. My friend, I really do appreciate that. Bobby Bonner, former Major League Baseball player. Deborah A. Cotter has also been joining in and watching. Thank you. My buddy, Dave Florio, is also watching. Dave, thank you so much, buddy, for tuning in. I appreciate you. Enjoyed a wonderful time with all of you guys last night. And finally, Debbie Smith has joined, and she's been watching. Thank you so much for tuning in. So, guys, that's all the time that I have today. Thank you so much for tuning in to Blog Talk Radio, Today in Bible Prophecy Radio with August Rosado. I will be back Monday morning at 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time on Facebook as we begin a brand new study in the book of Zechariah, that wonderful apocalyptic book. We just finished in Daniel on Friday. We finished the book of Revelation some time ago. Now we will be in the book of Zechariah. So invite a friend, and I will see you tomorrow morning. Don't forget, I will be preaching tomorrow morning at Wood River Baptist Church in Wyoming, Rhode Island. 10 a.m., 11 a.m., and 6 p.m. So I hope that if you live in the area, that you will decide to come and join us as we will look at current world events in light of biblical prophecy. So I appreciate all you guys. God bless you. Hope to see you soon. Remember, visit my website, todayinbibleprophecy.org. Sign up for the newsletters. And if you feel led to help us financially and travel around the country and preach the soon return of Jesus, also sending us over to Israel, as you've done many times, then our secure PayPal button is there on the website. And any financial support would be a blessing to this ministry. So God bless you guys. Have a great weekend. And remember, keep looking up. Jesus is coming soon. And Shalom, Yerushalayim. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. God bless.